Aloha palalas. Welcome back to the New Kanaka Podcast. This is Kaolana, your host, Jeta Kanaka Chorin Shakas here in Hilo. Kala mai, it's been, you know, a few weeks to a month since I put out my last episode, but, you know, holiday season and you know, everything that's going on, just got a little ahead of myself with the amount of stuff that I had to do at home, at work, in my business, and I fell kind of short on this podcast, but, you know, I'm going to put out another episode now. Here we are recording, and I'm super excited about this episode because it involves one of my listeners. Aloha, Sister Anella. She's a listener, and she's applying the strategies that I am explaining in my podcast. And she asked a question, and I love so much when the listeners come and ask me a question or just ask for advice, because while I may not know everything, it allows me the chance to go out and find out information if I don't know. If I do know, I can first verify it by researching, asking some Kanakas or some people who might be knowledgeable in that area, doing my research, and then try and give an educated answer. So if you have any questions out there, please don't be shy, don't be ashamed. Write me an email. I'll include them in the description of this podcast. You know, reach out to me. We learn together. Okay, so I'm gonna go over what Anella wrote. She states that she's been listening to the podcast for a while, and she is using the credit card strategy I mentioned a couple of episodes ago to pay down her credit card. Awesome, Anella. Yeah, it's a really good strategy and one that you can do over and over until your debt is paid off and literally cut your interest to zero, right? But she says she's Kanaka, born away from Hawaii Island or from the state, but she wants to move back to Big Island sometime next year, but her house needs to sell in the spring up there. And over the last year, she has been self-employed as a contractor. So she's not a W-2 employee. Her income comes from her own efforts, right? And she plans to continue doing that. She says she's nervous she won't be able to get a mortgage, and that it's going to be hard for her. So she was asking if I had any ideas, suggestions on getting a mortgage for a self-employed person. So, you know, I did some research. I knew some of the answers myself, or some of what I learned applied to her situation. But I also went and I asked, one of my good brothers, Paul, who's been in the financial industry for a while now. And then I also did some research and I looked up on some websites. So I wrote back to her and I'm going to kind of go over what that was. So if any of you are self-employed out there or have a business and are looking forward to a loan, specifically a mortgage, but this applies to almost any kind of loan for the most part, this might help you out. So whenever you apply for any type of loan, it's going to be really similar to if you are a W-2 employee. You got to have a good credit history, you got to have a stable source of income, and you got to have enough down payment to meet the loan requirement. Now, understanding the programs out there that can help you will benefit you a lot. There are USDA programs, there are rural development programs, even down to your ethnicity and location, you can qualify for certain programs that can be zero interest or minimal to zero down payment, you know, just depending on the program. So, do a little research and you can find out those programs. Look up banks, look up, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, and go to those websites and look up. They have links to all the loans that's available, right? So kind of going down. So good credit history. You got to, your credit got to be on the better end, right? Anything above 700 is good. And you should be able to get a fairly decent interest rate and get approved for the loan. But if you're above 760, you can get probably the best interest rate that you can get. Right. So your credit history, it's your length of payment, your length of debt, the amount of debt that you have, the total amount of debt you have and amount of debt that you have that's you owe. Right. So if you have three credit cards, they all get $20,000 balance. And so that's $60,000. Right. But you and max them out to, $40,000. You have 2/3 of your debt to available debt ratio, so you can have a poor credit score. The credit bureaus like to see that you have less than 1/3 of whatever your available credit. So all the lenders who lent you money or credit, that you're not overspending, right? Because then that shows just good habits, good financial habits, right? You also a good history of paying back your debt you know, is helps bring your credit score up. And no defaults, no errors, no bad notices on your credit report will also help you keep your credit score up. Yeah. So, you know, there's a few other things, but basically don't overspend and have a good payment history. Try not to be late in any of them. Again, I mentioned this in previous episodes, but if you feel you're going to be late, especially in these times now, if you feel you cannot make a month's payment or something, call your credit card company. Call them up and let them know the situation. A lot of them are flexible and they'll work with you to maybe skip a month or minimize the payment that you need for that month or something. But it's better than getting a bad report on your credit report. So go to any website, annual credit report, mycreditreport.com, and go look up your credit report. Stay on top of that. That's super important, right? A stable source of income. So that is her situation here. Because she's self-employed, the income really is based on her efforts and what she puts into it. She's going to get out as much as she put in, right? So that compared to a W-2 employee who didn't lose their job recently, they have a steady work history where they generate a certain amount of income every month. And the banks like that. They like to see a steady amount of income every month. Right. And then one of the other factors of a loan is that whatever the loan is, you might have to put up 20%, especially for a mortgage. If it's your traditional mortgage, you're not going through any program, then you got to put up 20% of that mortgage, of that loan amount. Some of those programs that I mentioned, the Rural Development Program, USDA, you might be able to qualify for 0%, zero down. Right. And then they finance that loan 100%. But either way, you know, you got to be ready to put down money either for the 20% or for even for closing costs. Right. Sometimes you can add the closing costs into the back end of the loan. But for the most part, just, you know, you got to have some kind of money for put down. So that's all similar in those. The difference, if for somebody self-employed, would be how your source of income is documented. Most times you're going for a big loan like that, they're going to ask you for 2 years of tax return because they like see your income over the last 2 years. And what they do with that is they use to determine the qualifying loan amount. And they average that out of the 2 years. So they ask for your 2 years, they look for your gross adjusted income, and they add that up and divide them by two. So for example, if you self-employed and in the first year, maybe you just got started, you make $50,000 that year. In the second year, you make $100,000 that year and, you know, work and pick up a little bit. Then I'm going to add that together. You get $150,000 and divide that by two. The average of both years would be $75,000. So that is what the banks or the lender will use as your annual earned income. And they will use that for your loan approval. They'll take a look at how much the loan is you applying for. They'll ask you about all your expenses, all the loans that you get out, any mortgages, any kind of debt that you have. And they'll also adjust for your living expenses. And they want to see that you have a good debt to available income ratio. So, you know, not that you no more any money left over at the end of that $75,000, you know, at the end of every month. They like see that you have money available to be able to afford whatever loan is you're applying for. So, but that's how they would calculate. Even if you're a W-2 employee, they calculate your annual earned income the exact same way, right? If you're self-employed, you might need to provide documentation. Now, there's different types of businesses. Currently, I have an LLC, but there's S-Corps, there's C-Corps, there's partnerships. If so happen your business is, or you are in a partnership, or you are owner, shareholder in an S-Corp, you might need to provide documentation showing how much of the business you own. What is the structuring of your business? It might get a little difficult there. And that's where you need to have all the articles of incorporation and go into the lender. They will tell you specifically what they need in order to verify, you know, that business that you have, right? Referring back to the annual earned income, if you... normally, when someone has a business, or even for us on a regular level, we want to maximize our deductions because the amount of our deductions, if it goes above the annual amount, we can get a lot more back, right? But in the case of you're trying to qualify for a loan, you want to do the opposite, right? You want to not take all the deductions that you can get, because what you want is you want a higher earned income, because that's what they're going to look at for your annual earned income, the average, and that's what your loan amount is going to be based off of. I would suggest getting a CPA or accountant to help you get that fine line of where you claim just enough deductions where you don't have to pay anything, but you maximize your earned income so that you're able to qualify for a much bigger amount and maybe afford a better home, right? A side note, as far as the down payment, you know, if the funds that you're going to use for the down payment is in your business account, you might not be able to do that, right? So if you have your business, you got to show how much you're paying yourself, and that money going from your business to you through payment as the owner or as an employee of that business and into your personal account. You cannot use your business account to put a down payment for a personal home. Most lenders do not allow that in a loan, right? So in her situation, her home is going to sell, she mentioned, in the spring of next year, hopefully. So the funds are going to be easily shown that it comes from the sale of the home, and she's going to put that in her personal account. So we shouldn't have any complications there, right? So, you know, that was real quick, down and dirty. Those is pretty much what, it's real simple, it's real easy, but, you know, it can get complicated if you're not organized and if you don't have the right information, right? So again, just to recap, you know, good credit history, stable source of income, and enough of a down payment, right, is what you want to have together whenever you're applying for any type of loan, but especially a mortgage, right? So just want to also add that, you know, just I really implore you guys, what this sister is doing, Anella, is what she's doing is awesome, right? She is working for herself. She is in business for herself. No, she's working and pushing for her dream. And the system, the American system, is designed to benefit business owners. If you have a business, even a small business, it doesn't need to be a brick and mortar. It doesn't need to be something that you go out and fix something or anything. It can be a small business at home. You can crochet hats and sell hats online. You can buy candy from Walmart, split them up and sell them in gift bags, you know, online. Or you know, it can be just something out of your home. You can qualify for so much help and finances and tax deductions by having your own business. So what this sister is doing, whoo, right on, sister, because that's the hard thing to do. That's hard. Now, there are easy forms of businesses. As I mentioned, those other ones don't got to be too difficult. But when you're a contractor and you're working for yourself, like I said, you only going to get what you put out. And that, I respect you for that, Anella, because that is the baseline of the American dream. For now, work for yourself, create your own future, right? So I implore you all, if you guys can and you have the means, there are a lot of free business opportunities out there where it literally takes nothing to start, or you can just do some on your own, something on your own. And you don't even need to have a LLC. You don't need to, you might just need to have your GE license, which is, you know, $40-$50. Get your GE license, and then you're able to do business, and now you're able to write off a lot of stuff. I mentioned this in previous episodes, but just for instance, you know, if you have a home, you own that home, and you can set aside an area in your home that is technically your office, your home office, or wherever you operate your business. Now, as long as you can show that in that portion of your home, it doesn't need to be big, that portion is dedicated to your business, whatever percentage of that, the square footage of that space is in your home, you can write off that percentage of your bills. So say if that piece of your home is 1/5 the size of your house, and that's your home office, or that's where you conduct your business, you can write off 1/5 of your mortgage. You can write off 1/5 of your electric, your internet bill, your phone bill, your water bill, You can even rent your home out for 2 weeks to your business and write that off. There's so much deduction and so much tax benefits that you can have for having your own business, especially a home-based business. And now a lot of the stuff that you are going to go out and purchase anyway, you can now use some of that as a business write-off as well. You go out and you meet somebody for lunch and you talk about business. You can write off half of that meal as a business expense. You fly to another city. You rent a car. Any of those, you can write off that as a business expense as long as you go with the intention to do business and you show that you can do some kind of business there. I mean, it's, you know, I can go in one future episode and talk to you guys about that. But I implore you, if you have some kind of entrepreneurial, just a spark of interest, I implore you to look into what is it you want to do with your life. Find a way to create a business with that and you can benefit your life. Once you start learning, once you start going down that path, you're going to start learning so much. But not only that, you're going to enjoy what you do because it is a passion of yours. This is my passion, helping other people, giving education, giving knowledge and not expecting nothing back. But when I get letters like this back saying that some of the stuff that I am saying is helping and asking, oh man, that is all the payment I need. Is just that. Just knowing that I helping one other person, especially a Kanaka out there. Mahalo, Anela, for writing to me and all of those in the past who have wrote and I've addressed yours on these podcasts. Mahalo nui. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate the respect of just listening to what I have to say because my passion is helping other people, especially in an area where we all can learn so much in our personal finance. We need to start making finance personal again and understanding our own situation and now improving our situation. And I hope to help you do that. So with that being said, mahalo. Thank you very much for tuning in on this episode. If you have any questions, please write to me. Reach out to me. I will leave my email in the link in the description. Until then, have a happy and safe holidays. Wear your mask and wash your hands and be safe. And until the next one, aloha.